Well, I'm surrounded by the animals. I'm looking over here at Claudia. She's got a claw. They're a lot more cuddly and friendly up here than in real life. I'm going to do Acts chapter 10 and 11, and really, it's just something I want to talk about. We did half of chapter 10 last week. You probably don't remember, but we did. Chapter 11 is just a recap of chapter 10. So we're just going to take a few minutes and go over 10 and 11. Chapter 10 from last week. You remember the story, Peter on the rooftop, he's getting a vision. The sheet comes down from heaven. He's hungry. It's about lunchtime, and it has all kinds of animals in it. And rise, Peter, kill and eat. He hears a voice. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. No, no, not so, Lord. And then God says to him, "What I have cleansed, let no man call common. What I have cleansed, let no man call common." And so while he's there on the rooftop, and he's a little perplexed about the message. He's still trying to figure it out. He knows, while it was about food and food was important to the Hebrew people, he knows it was about more than food, and it was about something else. And so while he was there, some men came from Cornelius, because we forgot the first few verses. A man in Caesarea, his name was Cornelius. He was a captain of the guard. He was a commander over many troops. He feared God, and he had a vision to send some men to Joppa, to a place called Simon, to a place that was inhabited by Simon the Tanner, and to ask about a Peter. And so some men came in, and Peter heard them, went downstairs, said, "I'm Peter," and they began to tell him all the things that their boss had told them, Cornelius. And he began to, he said, "Well, all right, I'll go with you." They said, "You're supposed to come with us. You're supposed to go and talk to us." And Peter said, "Well, all right, I'll go with you." And he invited them into his house. Now, this is a big deal. We don't think about this at all. This is a really big deal. Jew and Gentile, opening your home to them. It was a really big deal for Peter. In fact, you don't really get it in this verse. "For he himself is our peace, and has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation." You see, for the Hebrew, for the Gentile, there was a wall of separation. There was a wall of separation, and you did not cross that wall. And for Peter to invite them into his house, and likely even lunch, because he was about that time, was a big deal. And then for Peter to go was an even bigger deal, to go to Cornelius' house. It was such a big deal, they took along some witnesses just in case he had to have something. But I want to talk to you about, just for a second, about Cornelius. First of all, it says in verse 2 that he was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, and who gave alms generously to the people, and who prayed to God always. He was a man who feared God. He feared God. He loved God. He was a devout man. He was devoted to whatever it is that he did, and he gave alms. He was a giver of alms, and he was also prayed. He prayed to God, but he was lost. He was lost. Let me ask you this. How many people do you reckon there might be in our church who are devout, who fear God, who give alms? They'll drop $20, $30, $100 in the offering plate towards these people in that hill country, and that's a good thing. And they pray, and yet they're lost. They're lost. We have this misconception that we think all roads lead to heaven. They do not. There is only one road that leads to heaven, and that road is in Christ. Cornelius knew that. Cornelius realized that. Chapter 10, verse 22, and they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one who fears God, who has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and hear the words that you from you. Hear the words from you. Chapter 11, verse 14. Who will tell you words by which you and your household and all your household will be, what's the word? Saved. Will be saved. He could do all these things, but he wasn't right with God. He could do all these things, but he wasn't saved. He needed to respond to the gospel. He needed to respond to the gospel message. That message is plain and clear. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Christ died for us. He rose again the third day, and that he is the way to salvation. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth and the life. He said later on, he said, why are you concerned that I said you must be born again in John chapter 3? Jesus is the way. Listen, you don't have to be a part of our church, right? You don't have to. Listen, come and receive Christ. Go be a part of whatever church you like, whether it be Catholic or Presbyterian or whatever. Do it. You must be born again. You must be saved by the gospel. You must be saved. You know, the seeking Savior will always find the seeking sinner. That's a fact. The seeking Savior will always find the seeking sinner. Let me just read a couple verses for you. Luke chapter 19, verse 20, verse 10. I know what this one says. It says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jeremiah 29, 13. Is that right? Yeah. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen. You seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Listen, the seeking Savior, Jesus, has a way of finding every seeking Savior, every seeking sinner. That's you and I. So much so that he can shipwreck a missionary on an island. We'll see that in the Gospels. He can come to someone at their death, on their deathbed. He can send angels, and he can proclaim to them the gospel that they've never heard. Don't worry about the ones who've never, what I'm saying is, don't let that be a hang up. You don't have that excuse. You have the gospel with you and by you at every time. You can hear the gospel. That's why it's so important for us to go. It's so important for us to go into the world and to tell everyone. That's why we collect these offerings three times a year. The mission offerings, Lottie Moon Foreign Mission, the Mary Hill State offering, and the Annie Armstrong Easter offering go from the local, state, to the North American Mission Board, and then to International Mission Board. That's why we collect them, so that those people can hear. That's why we want them to hear. Listen, the seeking Savior has a way to find the seeking sinner. I'm glad. You know, Pam was talking about she was glad that someone came, and I was glad too when someone came. I was an adult. I was glad. I may not have shown it. I'm kind of sour-faced in the first place, but I was glad when they came. At first, I may not have truly believed, but I was glad that they came. I was glad that they did come. It's very simple. You hear the word, you believe on Christ, and then you receive the Holy Spirit. You hear the word, you believe on Christ, and you receive the Holy Spirit. It's the word of God. It's the word of God that is closes up mouths. It's the word of God that causes people to not be able to answer it. It's the word of God. You hear the word, and then you believe it. You believe on Christ. You believe in Him. You trust in Him. You believe that He is who He said He is. He will do what He'll say He'll do. He will save. You hear it? You believe it. Then you receive the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you how this happens, because this is just a mysterious miracle. But once you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. He comes and indwells you, every one of you. Now, some people have more of the Spirit. Nah, you don't have more of the Spirit. I got to watch my words here. Some people are letting the Spirit have control more than other people. Some people at different times in their lives let the Spirit have more control than at other times. Hear, believe, and receive the Holy Spirit. Last thing is, this is kind of my own. Peter had the model church. Right, so he walks into Cornelius's house. Cornelius has some friends gathered too, friends and family, and they're all there, and they're just sitting there waiting for the man to come and tell them about God, for the man to come and tell them about Christ. They were present. They showed up. They wanted to hear. They listened. They believed. And they obeyed. That's a good church. That's a good church right there. They're present. They want to hear. They believe, and they obeyed. So Peter, when he first got there in verse 34, Cornelius came and ran to him and knelt down before him. And he said, no, don't kneel down. I'm a man just like you are. And then he opens his mouth and he says, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. God's not partial to anyone. God shows no partiality based upon anything, period. It's all the same. But in every nation, whoever fears and works righteousness is accepted by Him. The word which God has sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through the Lord Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. And he went on and to tell them to begin telling them about Jesus. And while he was still speaking, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell. The Holy Spirit fell. While, didn't let him finish his sermon. Come on. He didn't let him finish his sermon. The Holy Spirit fell on those who heard his word. And well, they received his spirit. They obviously heard. They obviously had believed. And now they were receiving the gift of the Spirit. Micah 6. I'm going to start in verse 6. And I'm going to read till verse 8. With what shall I come? Thousand rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for the for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He says, shall I give my firstborn for my sin? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justly, to do what's right, to do the right thing, to do justice, to love mercy, to love being merciful, not giving mercy is not giving to someone that they what they deserve. Listen, that was you and me, and that's the way God treated us. He treated us out of mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To walk hand in hand and arm in arm with the Lord. He did it. This would be significant, especially later. Those of the circumcision, that's the Hebrews, those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. The gift of the Holy Spirit, they were astonished. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit would be given over to the Gentiles. That's me and you, unless you're Jewish. That's us. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why it was important, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God and Peter before they answered. That's why it was important for them to speak in tongues, because they could see that God had allowed the Holy Spirit to fall upon them the same way he falls upon all of us. 11:15-18. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. And then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you both shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And if therefore God gave them the same gift that he has given us, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent. They glorified God, saying, then God also has granted Gentiles repentance to life. Amen. Repentance to life. That's you and me. Amen. This is Pentecost, was the people of Jerusalem and Judea. This is seen as the Gentile Pentecost. The day that the Holy Spirit came to them. This was Peter. Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles, but Peter gets to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. My message to you today is plain, is simple, and is clear. Will you give your heart to Jesus? Will you trust Jesus as your Savior? Don't talk about how devout you are. Don't talk about how sincere you are. Don't talk about you give alms. None of that. Have you ever given your heart to Christ? Religion doesn't save. Only Christ saves. Religion, there's a place for it. It's the way we express our faith And you can go and you can find the church of your choice. But just give your heart to Christ. Will you do it today? Will you do it today? Now is the day today. Stand up. What are we going to sing, Billy? Wherever he leads, I'll go. Listen. You've heard the gospel. You've heard the word. Now believe. Believe and receive the Holy Spirit. You won't speak in tongues necessarily. I can't say you won't, but you don't have to. It was important for them, but you will receive the Holy Spirit. He can guide you. He can lead you in all truth. Would you come today?